like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. Today is September 7th. Our time is 8:41. We have a meeting scheduled to last until 9:30. Roll call, please.
Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards, present. Congressman Mason. Congressman Supernov. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here. I'd like to state for the record that Congressman Mason informed me that he had a longstanding doctor's appointment that was hard to reschedule, so he's not going to be at our meeting today. Next, and we do have a quorum present. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Walker, would you please lead us in a word of prayer this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for all of the blessings that you bestowed on the Osage Nation's people, all of its employees, Lord. Just be with us as we make decisions that affect our nation, again, our employees, and those individuals that we serve, Lord. I just want to thank you for this beautiful weather coming up on the need for rain, Lord. I just wish that you would consider blessing us with some rain here in the next couple weeks, Lord. I just want to pray for our children, our elders, those that are sick and in mourning, Lord. Just once again, I want to please ask for forgiveness for our sins, Lord. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Approval of minutes.
Yes. 59 is in government ops as well as health and social services.
That's right. And what is the title you said it? You thought it needed to be in GovOps?
Industrial
right?
Park.
Mr. Potts, would you verify that section 59 is the industrial park? I believe that we have it by this motion put in assigned to two committees. So would you just verify that is industrial park, section 59 of the bill for us, please? And thank you.
If that's the case, then somebody should make board out during session to take it out of health.
There's a mistake down at the bottom of page 2. The vote was taken on the motion to. No, excuse me. I'm mistaken. Okay, go ahead.
Have to approve the minutes. I think that. I'm sure I read it out like that, I guess. But anyway, you can correct it later.
Right. Do I have a second on the motion to approve? Any discussion to that? All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Please say no. First item on our agenda is a discussion of fiscal year 2018 appropriations, which I think we can be quick and brief since we have this bill before us also. I think that everybody is aware there was a meeting yesterday up in the executive offices with the treasurer and the controller. Treasurer Alexander and our controller, Ms. Fox, and other members of the executive, and it seemed to be a good conversation to have. It lasted very long, but the way it ended was, what do you guys need to move forward? And the two things, I believe, the two conclusions that we came to is we need our budget analyst and the controller and treasurer to get together and verify the start number that everybody started at. So that's going to take place, I hope, as soon as possible. And the second outcome was that they made the point that some of the budgets were not the same, especially in that one bill. Actually, the budget they filed that was the complete comprehensive budget last week before session starts, maybe on Friday, they now have a new one of those. And the conversation was that the underlying budgets have changed in there. So the main question was when we left is, what do we need? We need the treasurer and controller to get on the same page with the start number, the projected revenue, and what we actually have. And we also need any budget submission that has changed, as has always been the practice. If there's a change in a budget, they send us an amended budget for that entity to Congress, and then we work off of the amended budget. So it's my hope that they said they would work as fast as they can to get us amended budgets for those areas where there's change in the budgets. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, in response to the question, what do we need? Aren't you keeping a running list of all the things that we've brought up in the committee?
We had that discussion also. Treasurer Alexander and Ms. Fox and I spoke about it. They looked at the list. It's being memorialized in an email, so she'll know exactly what we're looking at. But I think she has a really good grip, and the treasurer have a really good grip on what we need.
So will you reference then the previous emails that you sent them when you...
I will send them an email today.
Because it's not something that came up yesterday. I mean, it's been coming, it's been here for
months. That was a topic of discussion in our meeting also. We discussed that very thoroughly. So,
is there any indication we can't get that information right away?
There's no indication that we can't get the information. I don't know how, actually, the treasurer, Ms. Fox, can speak to how. And she doesn't have the list of the information because I haven't provided that yet to her. I didn't come to 9 o'clock last month, so that's my fault. But anyway.
Just tell them we're going to do it today.
Can we go over the list real quick? Just so you know exactly that we've got all the things we talked about.
Right. We will go over the list that I took in the committee meeting, which is FY17, the most current report of FY17 projected revenue. Program projected revenue to program realized revenue. We need information on return revenue. The discussion on return revenue is that it's not defined as clearly as the treasurer would like for that to be. So either we need to work on that quick or we need to send him a note of what we think that is, but there's that seems to be the reason that we're not all jiving on that. We can have another committee meeting just about that, but since we have legislation on, I'm trying to move quick. They're aware that they need to calculate the amount of money that we appropriate for the health benefit and be able to tell us what's available. Current salaries that are
unfilled positions.
Okay, I don't have unfilled positions on my list. But
I want to remind you that you said that, I think you said that you sent it in and they were, somebody suggested that you needed to get that information through the HR department maybe, but.
Correct. So those were the issues that we spoke about off the list. I've got the email started. I was working on it this morning before the meeting started, so I'll complete that after our meeting, or when I'm not in a meeting, it will get completed today.
Do you also have a request that one of them attend all our appropriations meetings so we can have that discourse with them?
Well, they're sitting right here.
I know, but they sat right here last time when you said you've invited them, and there's been at least three meetings when they haven't been here, so I just want to make sure that it's in writing that we've asked these for these things, because it doesn't seem like
it is in writing.
Word-to-word communication works.
Shannon, I've already told you I'll send an email on that.
I know, but
that's been said.
We right. Have this discussion off here.
Already.
Okay. Well,
so
that doesn't seem to work.
Congressman Shaw.
One of the pivotal positions that came up, I believe it was yesterday morning, perhaps the morning before that, this is our third or fourth consecutive meeting, not complaining, just saying I can't remember exactly which meeting, but part of what the assistant chief was asking yesterday in the committee of the whole had to do with the detail that's provided by the executive branch with regard to their one-page budget, support documentation for the single-page budget. One of the questions that came out was, is this additional detail for informational purposes as we process the budget as to what makes up the large totals on the single-page budget? Or are these individual program budgets something that we're going, that you see the Congress holding them to with regard to programmatic level of spending? Because the one-page
budget was what?
Because the one-page budget is not about programmatic level of spending, but yet we're asking for the information. Are we just using it to process the one-page budget, or what is the expectation with regard to spending?
I wasn't aware that we had changed to process a one-page budget, and I'm not aware that that's what the will of Congress is. The budget that before us is $17.99. So that doesn't resound with me, because they asked if they wanted to just to send all the detail over, and the detail that I need. What I'm understanding is some of the budgets have changed. We're on $17.99 right now. So if the budgets have changed and they want to change the budget in the appropriation, then we need those budgets. The support documentation, the underlying documentation for that one-page budget that they have written up that has never been presented to Congress is merely the budget template that has the budget summary just as we have right now. So there's really nothing, no additional support documentation to be offered. Congressman Walker?
Is the revised one-page budget that you referenced earlier going to create changes to $17.99?
They have not submitted a revised budget yet. It has not been a submission to Congress. So I'm trying to understand the question.
Well, you talked about a change. There was a revised one-page budget. You said they've made changes. You guys had a three-hour meeting yesterday.
Right.
I'm anxious to hear what direction we're heading. I mean, are we going to continue with $17.99, or is there amendments that are going to be made to $17.99 based on some of their changes? Is there not? Are we going to continue to look at every single program, line item by line item, kind of go through the process that we did yesterday that took a lot of time, something that we've done in the past? Well, what was the result of yesterday's meeting? I'm curious.
That's exactly what I told you was the result. And let me just back up and ask a question. Is that not our, even when we were doing division budgeting, was it not our practice to go through the budgets, the underlying budgets that made up the division, Congressman?
You're answering my question with the question.
No.
Yes.
It is. So
yes.
So how would our process be any different? Would we just not look at budget? I'm trying to figure out how our process would be any different with a one-page budget.
Victoria, I've got people, professional people, waiting on a phone call because I told them and you told me that we were going to start with this bill this morning. So I'm just letting you know, do I need to cancel them? Because one of them canceled a meeting to attend this meeting.
I'll take a question from Congressman Sickert on, then we'll move on.
Well, I'll tell you what I got from yesterday's meeting was that you go through all those individual budgets and you get down to a point and you say, well, I think in this program you need 5 widgets instead of 6, and we're going to reduce it to $100. If anybody thinks that means that that's going to reduce that program to 5 widgets, they're just badly mistaken. It might take $100 off of the total, but they're going to do anything they want to do. So going through the process of line by line reductions is a kind of an exercise in futility, I think. That's what I got out of it.
Thank you.
But my question is to our body. How do we review these and decide what's the right amount and what's the wrong amount to appropriate? Our practice has always been to look at the underlying budgets. I don't care about widgets. I care about dollars, projected revenue, IDC versus the IDC projection versus the IDC pool. Those are the things that we look at when we budget. I don't care about widgets. That's not what we should be doing. So my question is, if we're going to look at the underlying budgets anyway to make decisions about the appropriation, why not be transparent in what we're looking at? So
quickly, the underlying budgets will get you to this $100, $1 million reduction in the overall lines. So there'll be some justification for your what otherwise would be an ad hoc, grab out of the air number. But particularly when you've got situations where you're now going to hear we're tapping into the permanent fund to pay for direct services to Osage people that we've committed to, I think that you've got to take a close look at what's happening with operations, because without direct assistance, why do you need these operations? You could third party out the few things that we do and be on the road. But in that regard,
I guess my point is we're still going to look at underlying budgets if we do it in a big bill fashion, a one lump sum appropriation. The question is are we going to do the one lump sum appropriation in legislation, or are we going to stay with the pages of what we review? Yes.
Is the one lump, because there was talk yesterday about more support documentation than we've ever got. What is that going to look like? Does that include the budgets that you have A, B, C, D, and then the detailed budget? Is that the support documentation?
Yes, it's the same budgets we possess right now, only the change.
Well, we sent the form to
them. Okay, I was curious.
Yeah, there's nothing additional or new or improved than we have right now in our possession. So to me, all we need to look at, I don't want a whole new budget submission and us have to wait through and see where the changes are. I want the budgets to be sent over that have changes in it.
Okay, I've got one last question. So, based on my memory, the chair of appropriations is the one that sponsors appropriation legislation during this session. Is that true?
By our congressional rules, that is true.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes. Since we have the treasurer here, I'm going to defer to him and see if he has any questions or comments of the committee before we move on. And we appreciate you being here, Treasurer Alexander.
I'd like to thank you for inviting both of us. We're sorry we missed the first couple of meetings. We won't miss any more of them. We'll try to have you this revenue figure today.
Okay.
And we'll just get with Mr. Potts when he gets a little free time and probably just bring it down here.
Okay.
And we'll stay in tune with you, just visit your meetings, and sort of be at your disposal if we can help you.
Thank you so much, Treasurer. We appreciate that. Okay, next item on the agenda is ONCA 1772, an act to authorize and appropriate $9,100,000 to the health benefit plan fund for fiscal 2018 revenue to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Edwards is the sponsor. You have the floor, Congresswoman.
Thank you. This is the appropriation for the health benefit for the under 65 and families, the over 65, the Medicare supplement optional benefit for those over 65, which includes Plan F and Part D. So a couple of things that you need to keep in mind and remind the treasurer that the law calls for the treasurer to report to the Congress on or before September 24th, I believe the date is, whether there are sufficient revenues in the health benefit fund to pay the $500 out to the tribal members under 65. If there is not sufficient funds based on your forecast to do that, then it's up to you to notify Congress on or before September 24th, and then we need to talk about what the number is going to be. Now, last year, based on the amount of money that Congress appropriated, and I know they said we'll appropriate more in the spring, but based on that number, to me, to my way of thinking, there wasn't sufficient revenue. Well, we know there wasn't because we had to come back and supplement it last month. So I think it's really important for this Congress to put the amount of money that they're going to put in for the calendar year now, and it's up to the treasurer then to help us figure out, is that sufficient revenue? And if it's not sufficient revenue, then the treasurer's going to report and we're going to have to come up with a different number. That's the way the bill was structured. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not supposed to, over the course of the year, keep having different amounts of revenue put into it. This is the decision-making time for what's going to happen with this revenue, with this health benefit this year. So in starting, I wanted to talk about the Medicare supplement part of it and the Part D, and because I think you guys had some conversations, obviously, about it when you supplemented the fund last month in a special session. So I want to start off with this, and one of my folks was scheduled to be on the line at 8:35, so I have to text her right now and see where she is, because I just tried to call her. I'll try to call her again.
What is she going to let us? What information is she going to bring?
She has the Part D and the Medicare supplement piece. I've given you something that shows what the current, did anybody give them a handout? I've given you the information that shows what the current information is with the Plan F, how many potential members we have that are 65 and older, and then here is the proposal for the Part D. Hi Terry, Shannon, Edward, how are you? Fine, I'm gonna try to tie in Tom Bartlett, and then we have our Congressional Appropriations Committee here, and I'm gonna put you on speakerphone. And we're in a big room, so it might be a little bit of an echo. Okay, hold on just a second, thank you. So Tom Bartlett, as you recall, was a principal at Health Smart, and now has been contracted by the nation to assist in what I understand is the transition from one third-party administrator to the other. And I think there's some issues we need to talk about now, but I wanted to start with this, because this is a little more straightforward than the other. Okay, so Tom Bartlett's not available. Okay. All right, Terry. Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Like I said, we're in a tall ceiling room, so, and I don't think we have our conference call phone hooked up. Anyway, so I have distributed to the members, and also our treasurer and our comptroller are here, our assistant principal chief. Anybody else that walks in? So I have distributed some information that I got from you, which is that we currently have 613 elders enrolled in the Plan F, and it may be that there are additional numbers. That I think that was a July number that you gave us. And then I've also indicated that you have gotten a proposal from, well, submitted through you for the group Medicare prescription drug plan, and I believe you said the cost of that is going to be $68. Is that on here?
$68.
So it's $68 an elder a month, correct?
Correct.
Can you go over that proposal with us a little bit, please?
Are you wanting to go over as far as what the coverage is?
Sure, and yeah. And the cost.
Okay. Hold on just a moment. I just have that out.
So let me give a bit of background while we're talking about that. When the Medicare supplement bill passed, it had Plan F and Part D in it. We were looking for group coverage for both of those items. We found the Plan F group coverage, but the Part D group coverage we were not able to secure at the same time as we hired you guys to administer the Plan F. So it's my understanding you've been looking for a Part D group coverage plan since that time and now have secured one, and this is it. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am. What we have done is what First Group is their basic Part D standard plan. And it's the one with where a member would pay 25% on their drugs during the initial coverage limit. And there is a $405 deductible on that plan, which is the CMS. This is the Center for Medicare Services basic standard Part D plan, which is a $405 deductible. They would then pay the 25% co-insurance. And then once they get into the coverage gap stage, they would pay 35% for brand drug. And they would pay 24% of the total cost on generic drug. Once they get out of the coverage gap stage, they go into what is referred to as catastrophic coverage with CMS. And at that point, on generic drugs, they would either pay 5% co-insurance or a cost of $3.35. And for all other drugs, they would pay 5% or $8.35. Now, with this program, they can go to IHS and continue to get their drugs as they have in the past, and they will not have to pay any copay, just as they have done previously.
And if they go to the Osage Clinic, that's the same process to your understanding?
Yes. And I have already checked, and Osage Clinic is in the network with Express Group.
And the Osage Clinic will be able to collect third party bill, or will be able to bill against this insurance coverage?
Yes, they will.
Okay. Do you know, and how many people approximately are we talking about? It will be an opt-in. Okay. It's an opt-in.
As of today, we have 619 elders enrolled in the program. And what our goal is to do is to auto-enroll those people into the Part D coverage with Express Scripts. We would be sending a letter to them explaining what's happening. The CMS does require you to give them the option to opt out if they choose not to be in that program. And so we would do that, and they would be auto-enrolled effective January 1, 2019, unless they choose to get out. So you would, as of today, Shannon, you would have 619 members that would be enrolled. They're enrolled in the medical now, and they would also be enrolled in Part D. And I have done some figures, and I can email you all of this, what the cost is going to be for 2018 for the members in the MedSup and Part D. There's a 2% rate increase on the medical for 2018, so the rate is going to be going to $202. And the cost for that on an annual basis for the 619 elders would be $1,500,456.
$1,500,456?
And the cost for the elders in the Part D plan for 2018, for the ones that are currently enrolled, is $505,104.
Can you hear?
So that would be the cost for 2018 for the medical and the Part D for the members that are currently enrolled.
That is a lot of fives. So that equals, is it's like $2,005,550. Is that what you get?
$505,104.
I know, but I was adding the two of them together.
Oh, okay.
$2,005,550.
5016.
And if you want me to, Shannon, I can put this together and email and shoot it over to you.
Okay.
Close. I can do that because I did go a step further with that. That's for the existing members. And the goal is to mail elders that are not enrolled to tell them about the package program now with the Medicare supplement and the Part D program. And that mailing list is 1,582. Now we would, saying we would get 50% of them, that would be, great if we did, because again, they would have to give us $1,000 limited benefit card to enroll in this program.
And they've always had to do that.
Do what?
They've always had to do that, so that's not a change.
Yes, they have.
Okay, well I wanted to start out with this. This is a priority, obviously, with healthcare costs skyrocketing, and I mean, just to see this, you would understand what's facing elders without this benefit. So I wanted to start with this, and I'm sure there are probably lots of questions. Dr. Shaw probably has a list, but.
No, I just really have one question. I mean, I think that.
They're top five.
Yeah, this is Ron Shaw, a member of the Appropriations Committee. Just so that I'm clear, the $1.5 million approximately is the cost for existing members to add a Part D coverage.
That would be the cost of existing members in the medical program for 2018, the $1.5 million.
Okay, and the $500,000 represented the cost increase for the Medicare Part F?
No, the $500,000 is the cost for the existing members to be enrolled in the Part D prescription drug program.
It's this, Plan F, Part D.
Oh, F is the cost. Okay, I thought that was Part. Part F is the $1.5 million?
Uh-huh, that's the Plan F.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Yeah, and that's the medical program that basically pays everything Medicare doesn't pay.
Okay, but we already have that for the seniors, right? That's not a new cost, is it?
You already have that for the 119 seniors that are
and what was the increase for that premium for 18?
2%.
2%, okay. So that cost is something that really we're committed to because that's something that's already part of the plan. But the new cost, if it were approved by the Congress, would be the $500,000 plus that you talked about.
Exactly.
Plus any new enrollees.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the law says that we are going to provide both of these things. We just didn't do it. As I understand, the administration didn't implement the plan, the Part D, because they were looking for a group coverage cost break. Otherwise, in the past, it was going to have to go out to individuals were going to have to go out and individually negotiate their Part D with individual brokers or whatever, and then we were looking at either a reimbursement or paying individually out to these individual providers. So we managed to get a group coverage. It's still part of the law.
So it's my understanding, though, on this group coverage, this is Maria Whitehorn, I'm also on the Appropriations Committee. It's my understanding that this group coverage, that the cost of the Part D, that's correct, right, varies from state to state depending on your elder populations and health of your elder populations. Is this true at all? I understand it to be that way, that Texas is...
It is on the individual side, but on the group, it is not. It's one rate for everyone.
So how is this group rate beneficial? So if a person, an elder living in Oklahoma, can get that coverage for $45, but an elder in Montana gets it for $56. I'm trying to see if there's a benefit to being on a group instead of maybe distributing them the funds to go on an individual plan. That's my question. Is there a cost break being in this group?
There is a cost break on the group side, and what we do, or I should say Express Scripts, they're actually the one issuing it, the underwriter of it. They take the group based on the demographics of the entire population, and they take that and average it to where there is one rate for every member. So you are correct. You may have people in California that would be paying $100 for this coverage. You may have somebody in Oklahoma that's paying $45 for the coverage. You may have somebody that this is the plan with Express Scripts is a preferred formulary. It has the majority of all drugs that CMS allows under Part D on their formulary. They have over 68,000 pharmacies in their network. So if you do get the advantages with this program that somebody out there on the open market on an individual side may not have, and again, we take the demographics of the entire group and average the rate for everybody.
Thank you.
So there's only one rate charge for everyone.
And that's the same thing basically that happens with the Plan F, is you guys, is that the negotiated rate is a rate taking into consideration the demographics of our members wherever they reside. Hello?
Are you talking to me, Terry?
Yes, I'm sorry, Terry. I said that's the same thing that you did with the
Plan F. Okay. It's the same way. We do it based on the demographics of the elders. However, on the Medicare supplement side, because we have such a large block of business on the Medicare supplement side, we've been doing it since 1966, we also can base it on our experience overall, and that is why we have like a 2% rate increase, because we look at our entire block of business, the demographics of all of it, as well as the demographics of specifically of the Osage Nation.
Okay. Excuse me, Congressman Walker.
I have a question, and this may have been said earlier. The two figures that we got, the 1.5 million, which I understood was for existing, and then the Part D is an additional 500,000. What are those figures based off of? Do the demographics include anticipated increases in enrollees?
What we did, we asked Express Scripts to give us a quote for you. What they did was based it on the entire population of your elders because that got you a better rate. So what we did was we went in and based it on the entire population of the elders.
And that's the 2,092 members that's reflected in the July 13th email from Sarah Oberly.
Yeah. Exactly. But we did tell them that currently there's only 619 enrolled in the medical. Those are the ones that would be auto-enrolled in the Part D, and the other ones would have the option to enroll in this
So curious, okay, still got a couple questions. So the 2,092 members who were 65 and older, do we know how many elders are signed up either for this the supplemental portion and or the just the benefit? So just to be clear, the 9,000 are not based off of 2,092 members then, right?
The rate is not based. The rate is based on that, but the
rate, yeah.
Okay, well that sounds beneficial. Okay, one last question then. So in either of these numbers, the 1.5 million or the 500,000, does that include an admin fee? Okay, thanks.
Terry, there are currently some members, I know it's not enrolled through the health benefit, but there are currently some members enrolled by the nation using tribal funds to pay for the Part D, isn't that right? And, well, you may not know that, but I had you explore a health benefit that's being offered by the nation to a few people, and you looked at what that Part D coverage was. Isn't that right?
I did not look at what the coverage was, but I was told that they did have maybe 40, 45 members that they had enrolled in an individual Part D plan.
Okay.
I think it was members in Oklahoma that were going to the Page Clinic. They enrolled in that, but I haven't really seen what they have or anything.
Okay.
Right. And just so you know, too, Shannon, I did get this information this morning that we are having an average of 8 people a month enrolling in the program. These are people that are turning 65. We send them out a packet 3 months prior to their turning 65. So we are averaging about 8 people a month. We've had 48 people that were enrolled through July.
Great.
Just in those packets that are sent out, are those sent out to all 2,092 members or included in those? It's not those that are already signed up for the plan. It's, is it?
No, these are the people that are just turning 65. They will be turning 65. And we send it out 3 months prior to the 65th birthday because that's the time you can sign up for Social Security and Medicare and everything. And so what we do is we get a file from Osage to on everyone turning 65, and we send a packet to them letting them know that they can enroll in the Medicare Supplement Program. And then going forward, what we will be doing, if everything is approved, is it will be a combination Medicare Supplement and Part D plan.
And that's regardless of whether or not they're signed up for the health benefit or not, correct?
No, they are informed. If they're in the health benefit plan, anything we send out, it has in the information packet that if they choose to enroll in the program, that they will be taken out of the limited benefit plan. And then we work with HealthSmart on that, and anytime anyone is enrolled in the Medicare plan, we notify HealthSmart to remove them from the benefit plan.
Okay, does this mail out, does it get sent out to individuals 3 months prior to their 65th birthday that are not part of the health, our health card plan?
No, it gets sent out to everyone.
So that answer is yes. Yes, it gets sent out to everyone turning 65 in the Osage Nation. That based on the information you get from the membership department, isn't that right?
That is correct.
Well, they get it from the executive branch. And that's a mailer?
Yes.
Now, did you know, Terry, that they're changing administrators starting the first of next year?
On the limited benefit plan?
Yes.
I did learn something about it, but don't really have any facts or anything on it.
Okay.
As of right now.
Well, we'll make sure to note that somebody needs to let you in on that.
Yeah.
That's all I have on this part. But obviously she can answer any questions, or we can call her back whenever we need to.
I think we got pretty thorough information. I have no more questions. Thank you, Terry, for joining us this morning in this meeting. Oh, I have a question from Assistant Chief Red.
Not for her.
Okay. All right. Do you want to?
That's all, Terry. Thank you so much. Appreciate
okay.
you.
And I will send you this information in an email, Shannon, so you will have it. So if anything else comes up, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. So I have, it's 9:30, and I have more to present on the bill, but that was this piece that I wanted to present. I still have the part.
Congressman Walker.
Before you move on, right quick. What was the cost of this last year? Were we told that?
We have it.
The cost of?
This portion minus the Part D that wasn't implemented yet.
The figure that we calculated was $1.4 million, so it's about a $100,000 increase.
Okay. And then plus the $500,000 after Part D is implemented.
Correct. Which would be new, yes.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready to move on from this?
Yes, if you'll schedule another day for me, where I can get a time certain to call, because if you'll give me another date, I can probably get Tom Bartlett. I can ask if Tom Bartlett can come.
Well, time certains are going to be difficult because all of our meetings next week are IFS positions. So,
how about this week? Is there any more?
We don't have. This is our last meeting scheduled.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you about it. But there is more to present, and we might get the Treasury to get us some month by month. I mean, I think they presented some figures. Last month, but I don't think we've seen this month's. Let me confirm, we're billing, they bill us, is it weekly or every other week?
Are you just talking about the Medicare, Medigap?
Talking about the third party administrator. Now I know the Medigap bills annually, right?
Yeah, we also get monthly bills from them when somebody comes on mid-year. We get billed for the rest of the year on that individual.
Okay. So there'll be, and then with the health benefit, that's a weekly bill?
Basically, yeah.
And so maybe we can look, when's the last time, did we get a weekly update? Are we getting weekly updates? How do you guys pay out? Do you pay out weekly too?
We pay out as soon as they send us the weekly, I guess you could call them maybe draws. They'll send us an email saying, this is the checks, is this okay to release? And then we review it and release it weekly.
So since we had that meeting, there's like probably 3 weeks or whatever worth it. Can you get that information?
I can get you whatever you need.
Okay, so if we could track what was invoiced since, did you guys get?
We can update it from the last time that we appropriated to it, but it's gonna be month and a half, maybe.
Like
yeah.
To say, but I mean, realistically, it's a month and a half.
That's fine.
I think you're almost better off to calculate that average and use that as a projection based on the previous 6 months.
I understand. I still want us to go up to date as close as possible to where we are.
We'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
I have Assistant Chief Redcorn would like to be recognized.
Thank you. This summer matches our projections. I just wanted to, I'm not completely clear on how Congress is approaching this as an appropriation committee with a health issue. But I thought it would be important for me to say that we've seen an early draft of Mr. Bartlett's recommendations. And the very short version of it is there needs to be some changes in our law so that the law and the way the program is being run aligns. I've also heard Congress mention that they're thinking about changing some of the plans. While it is true that WageWorks will take over the administration of this at the first of the year, October 1st is the time that they really engage in the open enrollment part. There's a runout period in early 2018 that Health Smart will take care of, and then everything that's left dangling after that will come over to WageWorks. But I think the thing I really want to impress on everyone is that I've had some really good conversations with Congressman Shaw, who chairs the Health Committee, and we're going to invite Congressman Shaw to these discussions with Tom and talk about what the program may look like in the future and what changes need to be made. I think in the early drafts I saw, Tom does a really good job of articulating kind of how this thing morphed over time with the additions that the additional benefits Congress has passed and the chief has signed, and how we've drifted kind of out of, not necessarily out of compliance with the law, but certainly parts of it are not in sync. So along with this part, there needs to be and should be and hopefully will be some legislative changes to align the way the program is administered with the law. And I'm anxious to see the final draft. As soon as we get the final from Tom, we're going to share it with Congress, and I think he does a much better job of explaining it than I just did, but it's an eye-opener, and it requires some action from the legislature. Thank you.
Congressman Edwards.
Well, Tom is prepared to talk with everybody in public today and whenever we need for him to talk to us. It's not a secret, and everybody remembers that we started out with individual plans, individual accounts for every individual that was part of the health benefit. Then, at the request of the nation, we started making families so that adults could have access to their children's account funds, and that turned into what I think he's describing now as a proposed family plan. And then you'll recall that at the nation's request, we asked that that there be a carryover of funds from year to year, and that has resulted in some accounting issues, which I mentioned to you in the past. It was my understanding initially that the new administrator was not prepared to be able to account for those, and I now hear that perhaps they can. They're working with Tom. That's why it's important. It was important to have Tom, and I encouraged the executive branch to bring Tom on as a consultant, which he is now, because frankly, whatever's happened with internally with HealthSmart or with the nation's relationship with HealthSmart, my understanding is there's not a great deal of cooperation in trying to shift over to a new administrator. You might recall that HealthSmart did, this was rebid, and HealthSmart didn't bid on it, so. But Tom's available to talk. I didn't know that they're having a meeting that you were going to, but I'm in favor of us hearing from folks in public so we can all be apprised of what's going on. But it's pretty straightforward. If you want to continue to have your parents be able to access their children's accounts, perhaps the law needs a little bit of tweaking. And then the carryover is going to result, the fact that we did it is going to result in some unwinding that needs to be done, and I understand that will be at an additional cost to who I don't know. Because in my opinion, when HealthSmart voluntarily took on, sure, we asked and they accepted, but when they voluntarily took on that project, then, you know, to me it's up to them to account accurately. So perhaps that has not happened and there needs to be some unwinding of what happened. That's the part that we've talked about in the past, that they don't, that they weren't tracking first in, first out. But he's available to talk to us. The other thing I wanted to ask is if we can ask the Assistant Principal Chief. I received an email from WageWorks, and I don't know how WageWorks got my email. Do you understand what's happening with that? Because I believe that some of us have voluntarily given our emails to HealthSmart, with respect to them requesting it from us and us providing it to them, but I've never provided anything to WageWorks, and I got an email that says it's from, the body of the email's from the chief, and I'm just wondering, I think some other people did too, how WageWorks would have gotten our email without us giving our email to them.
I have absolutely no idea how that worked, but I think every one member of Congress's email was published on the congressional website.
Okay, well, my impression was it did not go just to Congress members, because I talked to some family members and friends who also got that email. My concern is HIPAA. I'm concerned that we're passing information that's not public record to a new entity that doesn't have a relationship with the individuals, in terms of, yes, I consent to giving you my email address, and yes, I consent to you corresponding with me via email. So I would appreciate if you find out how WageWorks got emails.
I think I'm going to have more information.
Okay, I'll get it to you. I'll get you the
email. I've got a lot of things to do, but I'll try to make time.
Okay. Well, if you want to delegate somebody, that's fine. I just didn't know who to ask.
Thank you, Assistant Chief. Any more discussion for this meeting today, members? We have completed. I will put the 1772, is that the number? I'll visit with the sponsor and get it on an agenda when
we also put together that information on your list of to-dos for the treasurer. I mean, I think it would be helpful if you continually update them with an email of what we were asking.
Which point do you want me to put on
there? Last month's. Invoices from HealthSmart. Do you anticipate that HealthSmart is going to be sending us any more administrative fees every month? But there's no winding down end of year fee that we're expecting from them, as far as you know?
Okay. We're at adjournment on our agenda today. Thank you, Treasurer and Controller, for being here. Madam Clerk, if you please note any minutes that they were present in our meeting today. We're adjourned.